It says, it continues, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. So in this story, where did Jonah go wrong? And where did he put his trust? Jonah, he had all of the advantages over the pagan sailors. He knew God. He knew God's law. But instead, he didn't want to follow God's direction. He didn't trust that what God had for him was going to be good. And so instead, he placed his trust in his own ability to control the situation, thinking if he ran far enough away, then God would just have to call somebody else. Instead, he ran right into trouble and pain. If he had trusted God at first, he wouldn't have been thrown into the middle of the storm. Instead, he trusted in himself. And it wasn't until he was willing to own up to his sin before God and before the sailors and trust that even when throwing himself over the side of the ship that God was going to save him, it wasn't until all of these things that the storm became calm. You may know the rest of the story. A big fish comes and swallows him up. Three days later, spit up on a beach. That's for another time. But I think what's important to note here is that in this scenario, it's the pagan sailors, the ones who didn't know God, that had the most trust and understanding, and it was Jonah who was placing his trust in the wrong place. The second sinking boat story that I want to talk about happens in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It also happens in the book of Matthew. And it involves Jesus and the disciples. This is what the gospel writer records in Mark. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, another person sleeping through a storm. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" So, in this story, where did the disciples go wrong? Where did they place their trust? We really don't get a lot of insight into their thoughts or actions before they woke up Jesus, except that they were afraid. But we can do a little bit of creative imagining here, remembering that many of the disciples had been fishermen and spent most of their lives, or a lot of their lives, on open water. They had most certainly been through storms before, and more than likely then at that point had been trying to use their sailing skills to attempt to navigate the storm, maybe scooping water out of the boat or trying to go around waves. They would have also been aware of the construction of boats and would have, up until the very end, trusted that what they were in was going to hold them through the storm and keep them safe. But at some point in the journey, they realized or started to think that that in spite of the boat and in spite of their skills, they were still going to die. They also believed that Jesus, who was this Savior that they had been following, they believed him, but they did not understand who he was. And they didn't understand that he could and would save them. And so they believed that he was going to fail them as well. Which is why they finally woke him up and said, "Don't you care, Jesus, whether we live or die?" So how were they eventually saved? Well, again, it was nothing that they did. It wasn't until Jesus rebuked their lack of faith and showed his power through calming the storm that they understood that both their trust and their fears had been misplaced. And it was only by Jesus' grace and favor that they had been saved. So what does all of this mean to us today? Like Jonah, like the disciples, like the Gentiles, like the Jews in the Roman church, we are all together on the same sinking ship. The world around us, as Sherry demonstrated, is corrupted by sin. It has rejected God. Even though there might be good things in and amongst those pieces, there are also a lot of bad things. And so, because we have the world rejected God, and without His guidance, it has been given over to all of the basest impulses: ego, greed, desire, lust, pride, violence, which then only further continues to sink the ship. And because the world turned away from God, we know that death came into the world, and things like physical and mental illness, lack of resources, and these other indirect effects of sin and the fall have been allowed to kind of run free. And truthfully, if we can all admit it, we are all sinful people. We all make mistakes. And even though we might not want to, we do go against God. And therefore, our lives, too, are affected by this. We fight with our spouses, with our children, with our family, with our friends. We become selfish and prideful. We forget to take care of our neighbors around us in need. We do things out of fear and anxiety that we might not normally do. And so where are we to go? Who do we trust to save us? Maybe we're like the Jewish Christians that Paul was writing to, and we trust our own ability to live out our religion, to do the right things, to check off all the right church boxes, and hopefully we can right our own ships. Maybe we're like the Jewish Christians and trust or believe that at least we're better than those heathens around us, and that should be enough. Or maybe we're like the Gentiles and we trust in the gods of our culture, things that we consider gods today, like a solid bank account and good retirement, a good house and investments, education, a stable job, our health, our skills, our intelligence, and our abilities. Maybe we even trust in the good things that God has given us, and He's given us many good things, our children, our families, and our friends. But the truth is, no matter how good these things are, no matter how righteous and godly they might seem, they cannot save us from this sinking ship we're on. The only thing that can save us and calm the storm surrounding our boats is the grace of Jesus Christ that we sang about earlier, given freely to anyone who believes and submits themselves to Him. Paul writes in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." This is the good news. There's this simple sailor's prayer that I found this week that goes like this: "Keep us, our God, for your ocean is so wide and our boat is so small." Reverend Andrew J. DeMotzes, he was reflecting on this sailor's prayer, and he writes this: "At times the challenges and difficulties of life threaten to overwhelm us. We sense our weakness and our inability to overcome them. The problems we face are so great and perplexing that we feel they have no solution. Our pain can be so deep that it seems to have no end. We feel like crying out to God in the words of the psalmist, 'I am poor and needy. You are my help and my deliverer.'" So where do we turn in the midst of our tiny boats on this huge ocean that we call life? We cannot do it on our own. Whether we have been in the church our whole lives, have memorized copious amounts of scripture, and can sing perfect four-part harmony all by ourselves, of course, or whether we are new to the faith, struggle to keep regular prayer and scripture times, and can't read music to save our lives, we can't do it on our own. And this is the good news, because the reality is we don't have to do it on our own. We have a good God who gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sinking ships. And He gave us the Holy Spirit, who is with us every single day to guide us, to protect us, and to give us peace while we are in this world. The question we need to ask ourselves then is, when the waters rise and the storms rage around us, Who are we placing our trust in, ourselves or our good God? Let us pray. Almighty God, we truly are thankful. Lord, it may not often seem like it because there are a lot of other things in life that distract us and ask for our trust, but we are truly thankful that we can place our trust in you and that you have given us the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I lift every single person here today in whatever storm they might be facing or that might be coming ahead or that might lie behind them, Lord, that in the midst of that, that we might know to turn to you and find our peace in you. Lord, we hold all of these things in the great wide arms of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Invite the worship team forward to lead us in a response song.